The Word of God enjoins us to study to show ourselves approved of the Lord. If you are one of the people who desire to indeed be approved of God in all your ways, and you desire to understand God's ways, then you need to take Christian literature seriously. There is a large collection of inspirational books from Pastor E.A. Adeboye, the General Overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, that you can pick and read from. Among the numerous titles are David, A Man After God's Heart, The Last Days, The Ultimate Financial Breakthrough, Divine Encounter, and many more. And just recently added are Time of Favor and The Sovereign Lord. Get yourself a copy. Get extra copies to bless the lives of people around you as well. The books are available at all CRM bookshops, all Christian bookshops, and bookstands in all RCCG province headquarters worldwide. Get yourself a copy of any of the books and be richly blessed.
You're watching Redeemers Network Television.
Isaiah 26, verse 20 to 21. Isaiah 26, verse 20 to 21. And while you are opening your Bibles, I want to seize this opportunity to say thank you very much to the Vice Chancellor and all the principal officers and the committee for taking good care of us. God will take good care of you in Jesus' name. By the grace of God, we will come again. Amen. If the Lord delays his coming, next year we'll be here. Amen. Isaiah 26, verse 20 to 21. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity.
Also shall disclose our blood, and shall no more come out as slave. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 tells us that to everything there is a season, and there is a time for every purpose. Yesterday we were discussing the fact that God is our refuge.
God is our refuge. And this passage is telling us clearly that God himself is saying there is a time to hide. He said, come, my people, enter into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. There is a time to hide. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 to 2, Exodus 2, verse 1 to 2, tells us that when Moses was born, he was born at a time when the king was saying that every male child born to the children of Israel were to be killed. The mother hid him. There is a time to hide. If Moses had not been hidden those 3 months, he would have died, and his purpose for coming into the world would have been truncated. There is a time to hide. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 21 to 23, Exodus 12, verse 21 to 23, the Almighty God told the children of Israel, said, I'll be visiting Egypt this night. Hide yourself in your home. Don't come out. Oh, yes, the God we serve is the Almighty God. But he says, listen, there is a time to hide. In Joshua chapter 2, verse 1 to 7, Joshua 2, verse 1 to 7, Joshua sent some spies to go and spy Jericho. The king discovered that there are two spies in the city. He went to the house of the harlot and said, bring them out. But the harlot had hidden them. If they had not been hidden, they would have died. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 2 to 16, 1 Kings 17, verse 2 to 16, the Bible tells us that after Elijah went before Ahab and prophesied that, listen, because you are worshiping idols, I prophesied that there be no rain, no dew until I call for it. And then he walked out of the palace. Immediately God told him, go and hide. There is a time to hide. That's what the word of God says. Some of you know my testimony. You have a rough idea of where I come from. Not too far away from here. And one day my father attended a meeting of his peers over some political issues. They had an agreement, a disagreement. My father said, my son is in Elisha Grammar School. The principal there belongs to Action Group. And now you're asking me to join NCNC. If I do that, he will victimize my son. So wait till my son finishes his education, then I will join you. They said, I see. So it is because of your son that you are not going to join us. We will see how old that boy will be before he dies. He came home, told us, and I ran. And I was hiding for 13 years. If I didn't run then, I would not be standing before you now. There is a time to hide. But then there is also a time to come out of hiding. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 12, Exodus 3, verse 1 to 12, after Moses had been hiding for 40 years from Pharaoh, God came and said to him, time has come for you to come out. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 12 to 20, Joshua 6, verse 12 to 20, when Joshua now led the army of Israel walking around the wall of Jericho and blowing trumpets and shouting, it was not hiding time, it was time to come out. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 to 40, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 to 40, the Almighty God said to Elijah, now go and show yourself to Ahab, because I'm about to send rain to the earth. I want to believe God for someone whose star has been hidden up to this moment, that from today your star will begin to shine. Yeah. I still remember very clearly, few months after I became born again, that a grammar school was started in my village. And then they said they wanted somebody to be chairman of the board of governors. And I've been away from home for 13 years. And they sent for me and they said, we want you to be the chairman of the board of governors. To start with, I was surprised that they even knew where I was. Which means, thank God that he was the one actually hiding me. Otherwise, they would have fished me out. And I came home stopped over at Elisha to see my mom, and I told her, I'm going home. And she said, no. You are the only son I have. Bury me first. After you've buried me, you can go. Who died then, it won't matter. But I told her, I said, things are different now. I was running before I knew Jesus. Now that I know him, no more running. Thank God I went and I came back alive. I'm still alive till today. In the name that's above every other name, I say one more time, those of you whose destiny have been covered, you will begin to shine from now on. But then the Bible teaches that there's a time to flee. There's a time to run. If you are to achieve your purpose on earth. Genesis 27 verse 41 to 45. Genesis 27 verse 41 to 45. Jacob had been blessed, mightily blessed by his father. His father said, I have blessed him and he will be blessed. But Esau said, I will kill him. And so what happened? Jacob fled. And if he had not done that, all the blessings would have been wasted. In 1 Samuel chapter 19 verse 9 to 12, 1 Samuel 19 verse 9 to 12, when David was playing for King Saul, King Saul threw a spear at him. Thank God he missed. David fled. If he didn't flee at that time, he would never have become the king of Israel. There is a time to flee. In 2 Samuel 15 verse 13 to 17, 2 Samuel 15 verse 13 to 17, when Absalom rose up against David, his father, David fled. He didn't say, but this boy is only my boy. No, no, this boy now is somebody else. The devil has taken him over. So David fled. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 to 15, Matthew 2, verse 13 to 15, the Bible tells us that the Almighty God told Joseph, after the wise men came and they went back the other way. They didn't go back to King Herod to tell him where Jesus was. An angel of the Lord came to Joseph and said, this baby is small. There's a king that will want to kill him. It is not time for him to die yet. Flee. I know you want to say, but where are the angels? The angels should be around. God said, flee. There's a time to flee. As a time to flee when the Almighty God himself tells you, listen, I am your refuge, but I'm telling you, run. I still remember those days as a young pastor in the Redeemed Christian Church of God when the Lord began to move mightily in my life. And some elderly pastors saw, maybe they saw into the future as they saw what was coming, and the water was getting rather too hot. I fled from Lagos to University of Ilorin. Many people didn't know why I left University of Lagos, but I fled. There are certain forces you don't wait to fight. When it is time to flee, you flee. After all, they say that the dog that runs today will live to fight tomorrow. But then there is a time to run to battle. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45 to 51, 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 51, the Bible said David ran to battle when he was going to face Goliath. When you are dealing with external enemies, it is time to run to battle. When you are dealing with forces of darkness, it is time to run to battle. It is when you are dealing with false brethren that you need to flee. There is a time to run to battle. In Exodus 5 verse 1, Exodus 5 verse 1, Moses, who had been running away from Pharaoh for more than 40 years, now came before him and said, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may worship me. It was time to run to battle. Isaiah 54 verse 17, Isaiah 54 verse 17 says, there's no weapon formed against you that will prosper. He said, all the tongue that rises up against you in judgment, thou shalt rebuke. There's a time when you say, no, 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 I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. In James chapter 4 verse 7, James 4 verse 7, the Bible says, if you will submit yourself to God, you are to resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. That's the time to run to battle. Now the main thing I want to bring to your attention this morning, therefore, is this. How do I know the difference? How do I know when to hide and when to come out of hiding? How do I know when to run and when to run to battle? Today now, if I want to go to my village, I announce that I'm coming, so that the witches can go on holidays before I arrive, because it is time to run to battle. How do I know the difference? Proverbs chapter 22 verse 3. Proverbs 22 verse 3 tells us that a prudent man sees evil, he foresees evil coming, and he hides himself. The foolish man went ahead and got into trouble. What am I supposed to really flee from? It boils down only to one thing. Anything that will annoy God, run from it. Because if you have God on your side, the rest is easy. I've always told my people, when we say, if God be for us, who can be against us? People always answer and say, nobody. And I say, which Bible are you reading? Because in my own Bible, Romans 8 verse 31, Romans 8 verse 31, it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Question mark. And he kept quiet. Why? He says, supply the answer. Oh, if God be for us, can the devil be against us? No, you resist the devil will flee. If God be for us, can demons be against us? No. The Bible says you are not to hide from demons, you are to cast them out. If God be for us, can herbalists be against us? No, I've just told you that he said there's no weapon formed against you that will prosper. But if the devil, if God be for us, there's only one fellow who can be against us. That's ourselves. I've always told my people, when the Bible says in Psalm 68 verse 1 to 3, Psalm 68 verse 1 to 3, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. I said, that's a good passage, but make sure that you are not one of the enemies. Because if you say, let God arise and let his enemy be scattered, and he discovered that you are one of the enemies, he will arise and you'll be one of those who will be scattered. Anything that will annoy God, run away from it. Let me give you some examples. Run away from poison. That should make sense. Don't say, I'm a child of God, I'm highly anointed. If I drink poison, it's not going to harm me. It is if they try to poison you that it won't work. If you see poison with your own eyes and you drink it, you will die. Period. I was at the zoo yesterday in Ibadan, and they were telling me the story of a man who said he's a prophet, and he wants to show everybody that the same power of Daniel is in him, and he jumped into the lion's den. They ate him up with his cross as big as it is. Flee from poison. Oh, what do you mean by flee from poison? Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 11. Malachi 3, verse 8 to 11. The Almighty God says, if you rob me of my tithes, I will curse you. Don't eat his tithes. If you eat his tithes, you are eating poison. I've told you before, certain people have the power, the authority to curse, and it will stick. But I said there are some people who can cancel curses. If your father curses you, you are in trouble. But if your father curses you and you run to your spiritual father and he says, that's all right, we will settle with your father, I cancel the curse. The curse is canceled. If your pastor curses you, you are in trouble. But if you run to the one who ordained him, his general overseer, and say, please, daddy, help me. Your son had caused me. And daddy said, don't worry, I cancel the curse. We will settle with your pastor. The curse is canceled. If the general overseer curses you, maybe by the time you have fasted 30 days and 30 nights, and you're about to die, you say, Jesus Christ, I'm about to die because of your son who caused me. Jesus Christ will say, that's all right. I will talk to my son. We will settle the curse and the curse will be gone. But if God curses you, as they say, God passes judgment on you. You say you are appealing. Who's going to be your lawyer now? Who's going to be the judge? If there is anything you want to run away from, that is a curse from the Lord. That is why you must not rob God of his tithe. It is poison if you eat his tithe. Second thing you must run away from is dishonoring God. Never do anything that will dishonor God. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30. God said to Eli, he said, I said indeed. I'm the one who says so. I didn't send a prophet to you. I said indeed that you and your father's house will stand before me forever. He said, but now I say, be it far from me. But I'm not saying so anymore. Yeah, it is written. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. But I'm the one who will decide whether that word is settled or not. He said, I changed my mind. And you know the reason why? He said, because those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me, those who dishonor me, I will likely esteem. Anything that can bring dishonor to God, run away from it. Anything you would do that will cause people to say, but to call yourself a child of God, run away from it. And it, because people are watching you. That's why I told you that the early morning session is not for beginners. It's for those of us who are already on the way, who are determined to go all the way. They already know you. They see you carrying the Bible. They hear you saying Jesus, Jesus all the time. They are watching. People you don't think are watching you are watching. They're looking at your actions. They're watching your behaviors. They're listening to your utterances. And as I came in, I didn't know that there was somebody sitting directly behind me. He saw me coming, but he hid himself. He pretended he didn't know I was coming. When we got to Ikeja and we were about to land, he tapped me on the shoulder. He said, I've been watching you since you came in. I saw the way you behave when they brought you wine. And you said, sorry, I don't drink. I saw the way you did this. He was watching from London to here, and I didn't know he was back there. He said, now I know you're a true man of God. Only God knows how many eyes are watching you. And all they're looking for is something that will dishonor your God. And then, of course, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 to 10. Proverbs 3, verse 9 to 10 says, honor God with your substance and the first fruit of your increase. Don't rob him of his first fruit. He regards it as dishonoring him. When you give God your first fruit, God is not poor. God doesn't need your money. He calls it honor. My former vice chancellor at the University of Lagos, Professor Ade Ajayi, was VC when I was doing my postgraduate studies, and then I also became a little lecturer under him. And in those days, if you are a little lecturer, you only get to meet the VC once. That's the day they ask you to come and shake his hand, and then you sign the register. From that day onward, when he's coming this way, you go this way. Now he's a true child of the Almighty God, filled with the Holy Spirit and bubbling for God. So I went to visit you a couple of years ago, and he had arranged with the people there that I should come to his house to eat. And they've agreed. So I went. And I saw him jumping up and down, rejoicing. Pastor Adebo has come to my house to eat. And I was wondering, what's happening here? Then he said, this man has at least 1 million houses where he could go and eat. But he has come to my house. He has come to eat to honor me. Not that he's hungry. Not that he doesn't have other places where he could go to eat. When you give God your first fruit, what are you doing to God? You are honoring him. He doesn't need your money. When we say, let's give an offering to the Almighty God, and I see the way some people do it grudgingly, I always look at them. Do they understand the God they are dealing with? You come to a church. Maybe you're a new fellow. You've just been around for a couple of weeks. And then they ask for an offering. And you are reluctant. You are not the one who bought the chair you are sitting on. Before you join the church, God has made his own provisions. And believe me honestly, if you never give anything to God, his work will not stop. Do I hear amen to that?
Amen.
Anything that will dishonor God, please stay away from it. Flee from it. Then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. He said, flee youthful lusts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, he made it plain. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, he said, flee fornication. So he made what we call youthful lust very plain. Run away from fornication, run away from adultery. God said, if the devil comes against you, resist the devil, stand and fight, and the devil will flee. But he said, when you find yourself being led into temptation, when you see somebody about to lead you into fornication, he said, don't wait to fight. Run. What did he ask you to do? Run. I used to tell my daughter when she was younger, before she got married, I said, when the brother suddenly comes to you, I say, hey, you are the most beautiful thing under heaven. I have never seen anybody as beautiful as you. Where have you been all these days? Suddenly when I saw you, my son began to shine. I said, wrong. He said, why? I said, run. I've been there before. Where do you think I learned the language? You know the story. Genesis 39, verse 7 to 16. Genesis 39, verse 7 to 16. The Bible said when the wife of Potiphar began to show undue interest in Joseph, and said, Joseph, what's the problem? I'm the mistress in this house. You are not even the one asking me now. I'm the one asking you. And Joseph said, I'm sorry, ma, I can't do it. Because if I do it, I will offend God. God, God. And it is God who can take me to my goal. I can't do that. And the lady continued to maneuver until one day they were the only two left in the house. And he grabbed Joseph and said, today, whether you like it or not, we will do it. The Bible says Joseph fled. When the woman held on to the coat, he let go of the coat. Flee. Flee fornication. Flee adultery. You know why? I've said that all sins are evil. All. But there are three sins. How many sins? Three. Only three sins where God said he will personally execute the judgment. You say, I'm not going to send an angel. I'll do it myself. Three. Number one, he said, when you leave my house uncompleted, I will fight you myself. And he said, the way I will fight you is that I will make sure that every money you make goes into a pocket with a hole. The money will come in, but you won't know how it goes out. Read it. It's in the book of Haggai, chapter 1. The second one is the one I've mentioned earlier on. You rob me of my tithe. He said, I will be the one who will curse you personally. The third one is, he said, when you commit adultery, he said, anyone who defies my temple, I will destroy. And many of us who think that adultery, fornication is something to joke with. No. That's the biggest mistake you can ever make. If you have ever done it in the past, you cry to God today and say, please forgive me. It won't happen ever again. The Bible tells us that when somebody has been sinning and doing all kinds of things until God says, this fellow has become an abomination. I want to destroy him. Then God will push him to commit adultery so that his cup can overflow. Bible says the mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. It is he that is abhorred of the Lord that will fall into it. In other words, by the time you begin to feel tempted to commit adultery or fornication, you should ask yourself, God, what have I done that I've become an abomination to you? It's a frightening thing. Very, very frightening. So he said, flee fornication. Run away from me. Don't say I will fight. One of my pastors came to me and said, Daddy, I have a problem. I said, what is the problem? He said, every Monday I feel excited going to the office. Why should that be a problem? He said, because the excitement is that I knew I will see my secretary again. Secretary is female. Monday is coming. You know, the secretary have been away over the weekend. Now Monday is coming. So he said, Daddy, help me. I know I'm in trouble. What do I do? What prayer do I pray? I said, prayer? Suck the fellow, man. There are some things you don't pray about. So he got back to the office and sacked the fellow. And suddenly the devil came out of her. He came out in clean color. He said, stupid fellow. I knew you went to see the Jew. I know he's the one who advised you to sack me. Look at you. You can't even think for yourself. It's whatever the Jew says. He said, but I thought you were the sweet angel. He said, which angel are we talking about? Sack the fellow. Flee. And I had another pastor. This one, not in Nigeria, in America. With the same problem. It is the wife who told me, he said, I don't understand. When my husband comes home, he doesn't eat as much as he used to eat. And I discovered that the secretary had been cooking for him in the office. Ah. So I sent for my pastor. Is this true? He said, well, since we can't lie before you, it is true. I said, okay, go and sack the lady. Yes, daddy. He left because, I mean, they don't argue with the jail. I got home, sacked the lady. 2 weeks later, he re-employed her. And I said to him, you are dead. I said, I can bet it, you are dead. He laughed at me. It wasn't long after that one that he left the church with the secretary. They started their own church. And the secretary is married. The husband of the woman said, I am a fool, tyrant, dictator. God made all kinds of names. Now, the woman had chased him out of the church that they both founded. The husband had discovered that the woman had 2 sons for this so-called pastor. After they left. Brethren, run from fornication. Run from adultery. Because you will continue in it. God says he will destroy you. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 9 to 11. 1 Timothy 6 verse 9 to 11. The Almighty God says you are to flee from inordinate ambition to be rich. Nowadays everybody wants to be rich quick. Students want to ride Mercedes Benz. And so all kinds of fraud, I think they call it Yahoo or whatever, on the internet. You want to be rich without the normal process? That wealth will kill you. Many people want, they don't want to, all they want to see is the glory. They don't want to know the story. I was telling them at UI, was it yesterday or the day before? The day before. That there were times when I became general overseer when I could not go from Redemption Camp to Lagos because I didn't have 2 naira. Because at that time there was a toll gate at the end of Lagos where you pay 1 naira going, 1 naira coming. And I didn't have 2 naira, so I stayed in the camp. And I would tell my wife, I think God knows there's about to be an accident on the way. That's why there wasn't going to be an accident. It's just that there wasn't 2 naira. And in those days, I didn't complain. I rejoiced in the Lord because I knew that my tomorrow would be all right. I didn't because of that steal. I didn't because of that manipulate the church account. Well, general overseer, nobody will know even if they know, what can they do? I've told my people, I said the general overseer is controlled by the governing council. That's true. But if the general overseer knows that tomorrow the governing council is going to meet to take a decision contrary to his wish, he can wake up in the morning and say, I have heard from God. Governing council dissolved. And then we will select a new one when we hear from God. And then he may not hear from God for another 1 year. But can the general overseer dissolve God? No. You can dissolve council. You can't dissolve God. Run from inordinate ambition to be rich. There are people now who are stealing, who are manipulating things, who are doing fraud in the name of prosperity. It is only the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich and added no sorrows. Oh, let me conclude. Time is gone. When enemies come against you, God will be your refuge. But if God is the one that is against you, where are you going to hide? Psalm 139 verse 7 to 12. Psalm 139 verse 7 to 12 tells us, David said, where can I run to? Where can I flee from your spirit? If I say I go to the mountaintop, you are there. If I go to the bottom of the ocean, you are there. If I say darkness will hide me, you know, it is God who had been seen in the dark before scientists discovered the night vision lenses. I'm sure you have heard the story of a man who came to Ebute Metta several years ago. He swallowed a charm that is supposed to make him rich. And instead of being rich, the thing was biting him inside. A few days before the 7 years, because he was supposed to die after 7 years, he said, he didn't mind, just let me be rich for 7 years and die. He swallowed the charm. And instead of being rich, he remained as poor as ever. So a few weeks before the 7 years, he ran to the church. You give your life to Jesus. Ah, yes. We prayed a simple prayer, and he vomited the thing. And we took the thing and burnt it, and we all rejoiced with him. And he was coming to church for a couple of weeks, and then suddenly we didn't see him again. So we decided to follow up. Well, brother, we didn't see you in church again. What happened? He said, they told me I swallowed that one wrongly. You swallowed that one wrongly. He said, yes. Which means you have now swallowed the another one rightly. And then money began to come. And me, everywhere the man turned, money. But 7 years began to click. You know, 7 years may look to you to be a long time. Wait till you know that you have only 7 years to go. Then every happy new year will become a time of sorrow. When the 7 years was about to reach now, he had a brainwave. After all, the demons are in Nigeria. Who will kill me? He will say, I will run to London. I'm sure the kind of demon that can kill people like that, they can't live in the cold region. He died on the plane. He didn't even get to London before he died. He died on the plane. The Bible says something in Matthew chapter 10 verse 26. Matthew 10 verse 26, he said, there's nothing here that will not come to the open. If you think I've done this thing and nobody sees me, that I've done it and it's over. I've swallowed this wire. Nothing can come out of it. Nobody saw me when I did it. God said, there's nothing here that will not come to the open. Tell you one more story and it will be time for you to pray. A woman had, I can't remember how many children now, several children for the husband. But one of the children didn't belong to the husband. You know, I've always told you, it is only your mother who can tell you who your father is. We know your mother for sure. Because many people saw you coming out of her. But after who is your father? Ask your mama. And she's the one who knows. So she had committed adultery, gotten this child, mixed it with the others, and the husband didn't know anything. Years passed. And then the husband got A green card for America, residency visa. And with a green card, you have to take your family along. And because they knew that in Nigeria, when you say family, several people can come in that were not fathered by you. So now, when you want to go with green card, they do gene test. So they run a test on the children. They say, yes, this one belongs to you. Yes, this one is your daughter. This one is your son. Ah, this one. This one. A man said, do the test again. It's my child. He said, no, 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 no. No, no, no. So he now turned to the wife. What do you have to say about this one? And she looked down. You think that because you did it 14 years ago, nobody has discovered, you think it's hidden. Unless the blood of Jesus washes it away. And unless you make up your mind, because Jesus Christ said, I mean, the Bible says very well, he who will confess and forsake his sin shall obtain mercy. God is our refuge. He's the Almighty God. He can take care of us. He can protect us against any evil force. Brethren, let me tell you, we can't have a crowd as large as this without a handful of witches and wizards. They are always there. In any church, they are there. Let me tell you the truth. The more powerful the church, the more the witches and wizards there. Why? Because in the best hospital, that's where you see the worst cases. You think I'm lying? That's the truth of the matter. Okay? But God will protect his own. That's why people like me can go up and down and do whatever I like. I know some of the witches and they even know that I know them. Occasionally we look at ourselves and say, you are still here. God is our refuge. He can take care of his own. But if God becomes your enemy, you are in trouble. So I'm appealing to you, brethren, that from this day onward, you take a decision. I will flee from anything that will annoy my God. I will flee from poison. I will flee from dishonoring him. I will flee from fornication and adultery. I will flee from inordinate ambition to be rich. And then you can relax. Then you can now say, if God be for me, who can be against me? Shall we please stand? I want you to lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, from this morning onward, if evil is coming from behind, don't let it catch me up. If it's going in front, don't let me catch it up. And don't let me ever annoy you again. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Talk to him.